It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched, no life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, happy Friday to all of you out there that are getting ready to get hunkered down, making the last-minute trip to the grocery store. Not because we're going to get some massive snowstorm, but because it's going to be pretty darn cold here Sunday into Monday. Welcome into the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. And I want to start tonight's show with the fact that, you know, I'll admit when I'm wrong. And actually, we did that last night here on the show. And somebody was all over me on the text line. And they were joking, having a little bit of fun at my expense, about the Minnesota Golden Gophers defeating, upsetting the Michigan Wolverines. And bravo, that's awesome. Love to see it. I texted Ben Johnson earlier today congratulating him on the nice upset victory. So that's awesome. That's cool. I can admit when I am wrong. Did not see that one coming. All right. But I also, like any other human being out there, because I think that the majority of us can admit when they're wrong. A lot of us can't. We get that, right? But I can admit it. I also, like most people, will beat my chest a little bit, will raise my hand, have a little bit of a smirk on my face when I feel like I have gotten something right. And there's something that I want to bring back into the mix and the conversation that you may want to weigh in on, where we called this out at the time. And I'm not sure how we proceed moving forward, but when all of this was happening in real time, I said it doesn't make any sense. It's going to backfire. To this degree, I didn't think it'd be this bad. But Walgreens, and Walgreens is not the only company that is coming out and saying this, or that's dealing with this, but they are the main company that's coming out and saying that their strategy, their thoughts about locking things up with this whole, the shoplifting and the internal losses that they were having in the store, that their idea on how to go about it was not the wisest or smartest move. And I said this at the time. I didn't think that the locking things up in these displays was going to help these specific companies. And we've seen not just Walgreens do it, we've seen Walmart do it and all that stuff, whatever, but it's backfired, okay? And their CEO has admitted as much, okay? And I appreciate that. Like, they are a company that's struggling now, that's losing money, and they're saying that this whole entire ordeal, it hasn't panned out for us, okay? Now, has their sales increased due to pharmaceuticals? Yes. But with regards to looking at the overall situation with them locking up certain things in the stores, well, it's not been a good thing, and they've lost money that way, and they've had these store closures. Okay, that's kind of been a big deal to round out the year of 2024, is the fact that Walgreens was making announcements that they were closing more stores, and that in 2025, okay, they are going to close about 500 more stores. Okay, first quarter is going to be 70, and then it'll progress moving forward. Now, Chris, you would remember this conversation that we had, okay? And I thought that at the time, that when we talk about the anti-theft, like, ideas and how do you better get a hold of this, that the locking up of things wasn't the way to go about it, okay? Mm-hmm. And at that time, and I don't know how we can move forward with this, like, what's going to be the most productive way, but I said that, and this is a few years ago, that I felt like we were in a moment, because when we're talking about jobs and we're talking about the economy and that phrase that politicians always like to use is getting people back to work, is how about we go about the way of stop having so many of these self-checkout deals and having more people being able to be in the stores. And even if you disagree with that, okay, let's say that you disagree with that, which I'm fine with because everybody has a right to an opinion. How about even if you don't have less self-checkouts, how about you actually have more people working in the stores? And people were talking about, well, you know, the price of that in terms of having people in there and, you know, insurance and then the, you know, the benefits and all this other. Well, I would rather actually, if I am a company, and nobody wants to lose money, I would actually feel better as an American that a company is kind of teetering and maybe struggling a little bit and the money's going into the pockets of an actual human being than for them to just be struggling because they can't sell the same merchandise that they once did because it's all locked up.
You can offset to a certain extent, maybe not all the way. But if you've got some of these items, and I can give you a perfect example, Henry, I just encountered that earlier this week, by having more associates or people on the floor to have eyes on these places that, you know, these areas that might be more of a high theft. And I'll give you an example to use a phrase that you like to use. I was at Walmart earlier this week, and there's something that I buy in the HBA section. It's $7. And it had been locked up, and I have to call for an associate to come and get it. And I may be there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's a $7 item.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not real small. It might be maybe about 6 inches high. And it's not anything that you guys are thinking. So get your mind out of the gutter. I realize that the minute I opened my mouth, I probably should have rephrased that, but it's already out there in the universe. They've now moved that to the shelf near a desk or a counter that's always manned. And I'm like, okay, there's maybe one way that they can do it, but they're a much larger company that can absorb more shrinkage. But yeah, it's I feel like by being overprotective, these companies have almost, it's been counterproductive in the sense that you're driving people away. Well, why do I want to go someplace and buy something that I should be able to go in and out when they're going to have it locked up? And then I got to wait for somebody. And I understand that as a consumer. I understand the frustration.
But you're 100% correct. And this is where I'm going to take phone calls, 651-461-9226. Let's try to see if there's any creative ideas that are out there in the listening audience about how we move forward with all of this. Because I actually, it's funny because I did an informal poll earlier today. I just texted a few friends, whatever, called a couple of friends actually that lived out of state, and I said, "I'm going to talk about this on the air tonight. How do you go about this from the perspective of, are you somebody that is willing to wait for customer service to come and help you out?" And the majority of my friends that I talk to or people that I text, they said, "I'm not willing to wait more than just a couple of minutes to try to get something out of a case that's all locked up." And according to Walgreens CEO Timothy Wentworth, they said this, or he said this during a January 10th call with investment analysts, talking about the products that are in locked display cases. He said, quote, it does impact how sales work through the store, because when you lock things up, for example, you don't sell as many of them. We've kind of proven that pretty conclusively. So he is stating here that with Walgreens, that when you lock things up, you don't sell as many items. As for theft, their asset protection team said it's looking at, quote, creative things to address the customer experience with regards to shrink. Wentworth said, I don't have anything magnificent to share with you today. So they're trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out, like, what's the best way that they can move forward. But there has to be something out there. But this whole idea of I'm going into Walgreens or I'm going into whatever the establishment is, and I see all the stuff that's locked up behind the glass, especially at those odd times when you go somewhere and there's not a ton of people working, but there's not a ton of customers at the same time, though, and you're like, well, I want to get into this. That's the most frustrating moment in the world.
Because, like, you feel like you're just sitting there wasting time waiting for one person to hopefully acknowledge you.
Exactly. 651-461-9226. Love to get your thoughts. Love to get your reaction with a phone call or text. And we'll do that next here on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 651-461-9226. Walgreens. Probably see maybe less items locked up. I know that one, Christopher Tubbs is going to appreciate that. According to what's happened to him in the past. From the 952.
They got me.
Free the body wash.
Damn it. Were you looking at my receipt? I mean, come on. Everybody needs their axe. But now axe is actually too
Are you a big expensive. Axe guy?
No.
It's too expensive?
Axe is too expensive for me.
How much is axe nowadays?
I don't know, but it's a brand name, so forget about it.
You're anti-brand names now?
I'm anti having to spend more money for things. But no, it is something that retailers are battling, and that's the problem with some of these smaller items that you can put them in, you know. But I feel like some of these retailers went overboard with trying to protect some of these smaller items.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. One text here. They have to tell their employees not to confront the criminals because employees have been injured. And I would never tell, and I don't think that should be the protocol to ever have your employees try to get in the way of somebody that's going to. It should always be let the authorities know what the heck is going on so that no one is injured on the job. Also, I think that they are losing because customers are afraid of all of the criminals, as the criminals oftentimes are aggressive. I guess they're aggressive. I don't know that's factually correct. That's probably a stereotype. I don't think that all the people that are stealing things are like uber aggressive. I would probably disagree with that. But let me say this. I don't think that necessarily has anything to do with some of these stores. And the point that I'm trying to make here is, when you look at Target, Walmart, and certain establishments like that, I don't know about where a lot of other people shop, but when I go to those places, not one of them doesn't have security. When was the last time you've been to Target and they didn't have security? When was the last time you've been to Walmart and they didn't have security?
Yeah, they have people there. And I to the texter's point on that one, before you get to the phone call here, just real quickly, these individuals that are there, like, some of this is very well coordinated, and they know what are the limits, what can they get away with, you know, what can employees do, what can employees not do. So they know the line, and they know what they can and cannot do and how far to push.
That's always going to be an issue, though, and I'm going to tell you why it's always going to be an issue. That particular thing is always going to be an issue the same way that in schools, okay? And I know that this is not retail. We're talking about school setting. There are certain teachers that won't get involved in fights. They won't want to break up fights between kids. But then there are other people, other adults that are like, look, if I have a kid that's beating the crap out of another kid, I can't just sit there and physically watch that. Because
you have to do the right thing.
Because you have to, and it's on a case by case basis. So I totally get that. From the text line, real quickly here, the funny thing about the locked doors is that it definitely made me stop buying from them, and I started supporting companies like Manscaped and Dr. Squatch. Not sure what that is. I hate it waiting, so I order from Manscaped and Dr. Squatch instead. Not looking to quit them either. Let's take a phone call here from Paul in St. Paul. He wants to check in on the topic. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing pretty good, man. Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too. So why not put a store within a store? All those items that are locked up are fenced in area with a cashier with locked gates on both ends. You have anti-theft, and they have to exit one exit. And if they go beep off, then you got to check them.
Well,
how
about we do this? I'll take it a step further. Now, I actually mentioned this like a year or so ago. How about if we're going to go to that particular concept, why don't you have just a basic, an actual where you go up? It's a vending machine. How about you just do a vending machine and the person has to utilize their credit card or whatever to get it out of the vending machine?
Yeah, that was my second point, is a vending machine. I've seen vending machine in hockey arenas that are shelling out laces and tape and hockey pucks, and they make all shapes and sizes of vending machines. You could probably get a whole row of them and have all your stuff in there, and then it's already prepaid and there's no problem.
Yep. And thanks for the phone call, because that is something, Chris, and you know this, I have mentioned that here on the show before, that why don't they, if we're going to go to that type of extreme in terms of you got to have somebody physically be able to go, why don't you just do the vending machine bit? And when you make that transaction, it kicks out the type of receipt that you need, and you can showcase that receipt just like with any other receipt in the store.
I think the problem with that is just it's the cost that's associated with it. In theory, you would think that something like that would work out, where you have everything that's isolated in one area. I think it's a very good idea, and kind of what Paul was saying. I think he's onto something. I think the problem is you're only going to get a limited number of retailers that would be able to do it. It's good in, I think,
or
it's good.
Or vending machine?
Well, I think
we think the vending machine concept is that much more difficult?
Well, I think it all depends on the retailer. Like, which retailers? I mean, you've got your Walmart, your Target, your bigger ones that would have.
And those are the ones we're talking about here. Yeah. I'm not talking about a boutique like. Henry Lake owns my own little store.
But if we're talking about some of these stores, some of these, retailers that are closing stores like a CVS or a Walgreens, I don't know how feasible that would be, because they're already cutting locations. They're already closing locations across the country.
No. I know. Well, what's the next step then? Like, I'm not talking about locations that are already closing. Mm-hmm. Do we think that Walgreens as a company is going to totally be out of business?
No.
Next year? So, I mean, it makes sense to try to do something.
Yeah, and hey, something is...
Don't lose your entire butt.
No, you can't. And I understand you wanting to have everything together and have that. I think it's a good idea. But it's just like if you go to a, you know, you go to some of these stores and they have the electronics department or whatever. You go and you're supposed to pay for everything there, but people, you know, circumvent that. I do like the idea. I do like the idea of having a vending machine. I absolutely
Thank
do.
Thank you. You didn't say that to me like 2 years ago when I brought it up.
I don't remember 2 years ago.
Your memory's bad, man.
Dude, my memory is so bad. I honestly don't remember a conversation. I couldn't. If you tell me something, hey, we discussed something 6 months ago, I would be like, yeah, okay.
Now, from the text line says, Senator, I think you have to look at the big picture. Our society has said it's okay to steal and have no consequences. Once we decide that it's okay to steal, and that becomes our norm, we've taken care of the problems that you're talking about. A work at a school, whether there are no lockers, whether there are no locks on the lockers, and one of the culture norms is to not, it's not okay to steal. And our kids don't steal. I appreciate the text, but I don't think that I honestly don't believe that in society the majority of Americans think that it's okay to steal.
No.
Like
no, not at all.
To me, that's just not a thing. Like I think that we can look and we can say that we allow too many bad actors to get over. I agree with the texture from that particular standpoint. But I don't think that that is the overarching message that we as Americans are sending, is that it's okay to steal. I remember being a student at Breck in Golden Valley for a few years. And, people, you can call it elitist, you know, school or whatever, college prep, whatever. I remember not having a locker on my locker, brand new kicks, you know, and somebody stealing my shoes out of my locker. Probably somebody that was a much better place financially with their family than me and still stole my – people will always steal stuff. Wealthy people will steal from broke folks. Broke folks will steal from the – like that happens, you know?
But my
point is that's going to happen from time to time. I didn't look at that experience as this is indicative of the culture of what is at this school. I literally saw the guy. He had the nerve to wear my shoes.
Mm.
And I was like, what? You've got to be kidding. These are my. I'm like, no, those are my. And every kid, when they saw me call them out, they're like, yeah, dude, you're on some funny business.
Did you get it back?
Of course. Good. Of course.
Good.
And I went to the headmaster and I had lost it. I was like, I didn't try to beat the guy up or I didn't try to fight. He was actually bigger than me.
You just want your shoes back.
I want my shoes back, man.
Well, and you should.
You got some nerve.
Yeah, and nobody's saying, hey, you know what? Go out there and steal. It's okay. As long as it's not a felony, it's fine. A petty misdemeanor, yeah, nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying it's okay to steal. It's not okay to steal. It's not okay for me to take, you know, this, you know, canister right here and take it home with me. That's stealing.
I do want to get to a couple other texts before we move on. This one, it says from the 651, I've picked up the security guards. They can't do and they rarely prosecute. They tell me this. They are not allowed to touch someone who was shoplifting to prevent them from leaving. And then another text I want to get to. Where is this at? I don't think the vending machine is that much more difficult. Companies are willing to replace employees with kiosks all the time. That's why I'm saying. And I will continue to contend this. The vending machine idea is not difficult. It isn't. It flat out is. It's funny because we were talking about kiosk in a mall earlier this week, and now we're talking about vending machines inside of some of these stores. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, I want to get to a sports topic that I think that we'll probably be torn on. But the topic is this. Should we take injuries more into account when looking at Hall of Fame status in sports? There's one specific name that has come up that has that I have a strong opinion about. And we get to that next year on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Oh, love me some Sade. Happy belated birthday to Sade. I think her birthday was yesterday. And I can't remember how old she turned. Look that up for me, Chris. How old Sade turned. She looks amazing. I think I'm pretty sure she's in her 60s, but she, woof, big fan of Sade. I hate to say it, but Dustin Pedroia, who was a phenomenal baseball player for the Boston Red Sox, he is not a Hall of Famer in my eyes. Dustin Pedroia, he won the American League Rookie of the Year and helped the Red Sox win a World Series championship in 2007. In 2008, he won the American League MVP award. I mean, you're talking about having a ton of success early on. 2013, he helps them win another World Series title. He is a legend in Boston, okay? Think about that. American League Rookie of the Year and helping them win a world title. He wins an American League MVP award, wins another world title. It just so much early success. But unfortunately, in my opinion, Dustin Pedroia is not a Hall of Famer. And it's because he didn't play long enough. He didn't. He got injured, unfortunately. And because of injuries and never being able to recover from that knee injury that he had, it shortened his career dramatically. And he's going to fall short. Now, is he going to get some votes? Yes, okay? Because I think the first time that he's up to be eligible for the Hall of Fame is next year. And I know that there are people that will try to make a case for him to be in the Hall of Fame. But I just think that his career was just way too short. And it really, to me, brings up the question with regards to when you look at the impact of certain professional sports athletes, how much does injuries or the length of their career, how much should they factor in to them being a Hall of Famer? 651-461-9226. I really, like, when I think of Dustin Pedroia, I think of a gamer. I'm thinking about a guy that left it all out.
He got grit.
On the diamond. Yes, he was, but it was just too short. It was just too short a run. He had less than 7,000 career plate appearances, which falls short of what most voters consider to be a slam dunk for the Hall of Fame. He never reached landmark career numbers like most Hall of Famers of at least 1,800 hits and 140 home runs. Those hits and home runs don't rank well against all the people in Cooperstown.
And that's the problem, I think, with the Hall of Fame. But you can call it a problem. You can call it, hey, you know, it's just factual. They look at the numbers. I don't think they look at projections. What would he have done if he was healthy? Because, I mean, yeah, you talk about the numbers, but he was the rookie of the year. He won an AL MVP, 4 Gold Glove Awards, 4 All-Star selections, 3 World Series rings. Through 2016, he had numbers that were really similar to Craig Biggio from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is Biggio played 9 more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Biggio...
can you project without injuries? There's no way to do that.
Well, and that's the tricky part. That's the tricky part. Because I'll even go to a guy right here in Johan Santana. I mean, Santana, for a while, was the best player, the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. I mean, 86-39, an ERA of under 3, more than a strikeout per inning, 2 American, you know, 2 AL Cy Young awards. But later in his Mets tenure, after throwing the no-hitter, he made 10 more starts at age 33 and then had to retire. So you can look at how impactful were they at the height of their career. But at the end of the day, to me, it's just always going to be about the numbers. That's why I look at some of these guys that are in the Hall of Fame, and I'm like, you have the numbers, but are you really a Hall of Fame caliber player? You know, and I think it's a numbers game. I think that's all it is.
So do we think that more with regards to baseball versus football and basketball, or do you think that that's how we view it in general?
I think
baseball is harder.
Absolutely. Baseball 100% is a game that I feel really can be separated by the eras. You know, basketball, yeah, you've got, you know, the Pistol Pete and the Jerry West and the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and you've got all these eras. And the NFL, you go from 14 games to 16 games to 17 and, you know, down the road, 18. And I mean, who knows how many other. But Major League Baseball, I feel like it's more, okay, you did this in this era. What did you do during the 70s? Okay, and then the 80s, then the dead ball, then you had the steroid era. Because you have guys like Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire and Rafael Palmeiro. These guys are not even going to sniff Alex Rodriguez. They're not going to sniff the Hall of Fame because of the PEDs. There are only a certain amount of guys, you know, Big Poppy, Albert Pujols, you know, guys like that, that are, you know, you can look and say, hey, these guys are clean. Everybody else a little dirty.
I do think that you bring up something interesting in terms of the numbers. Depending on the sport, you can't just say the numbers. Now, mm-hmm. I know that we emphasize the numbers more with baseball.
It used to be like that. Like 3,000 hits, you're automatic.
Well, no, we emphasize it more with baseball as opposed to maybe with some of the other sports. So, like, for instance, in football, nobody is crying or shedding a tear that Vinny Testaverde isn't an NFL Hall of Famer. And he played 21 seasons, by the way, and he's got numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's going to look and argue and make the debate that Vinny Testaverde is one of the greatest to ever play the game. You're not going to do that. Football, different than basketball. Football, different than baseball.
Baseball is extremely different
from those other.
Yeah, I feel like football and I guess, you know, even more so than basketball. Football, you had to have made a splash. You know what I mean? You've got the guys that have put up a ton of numbers, like Dan Fouts or Dan Marino. You know, guys that never won a Super Bowl, but they're Hall of Famers because of their numbers. Vinny Testaverde was a really good quarterback. Really good quarterback.
Mm.
But
he was okay.
Well, I mean,
was he really good? Was Vinny Testaverde ever a top 3 or 4 quarterback in the league? No.
No, but he was consistent. He was consistent. I mean, he was one of the reasons outside of, you know, Garrison Hurst that the Jets in, what, 1998, you know, gave the Denver Broncos a run for their money. I think they were in the AFC championship game. You know, baseball, it's weird because it's if you hit a number,
mm-hmm.
automatically, it does. Your batting average could be .240, but guess what? You hit 500 home runs, you got to be in the conversation. Well, if your batting average is Steve Balboni or Rob Deere, you know, .220 or .230s, but you hit 500 home runs, I mean, does that make you a Hall of Famer just because you hit the 500 home runs? I mean, there were guys like a Don Mattingly that
I know, love Don
going
Mattingly.
Back to. Yep. I mean, Don Mattingly.
And I was not a Yankees fan.
Yeah, Don Mattingly. He was one of those guys that I emulated that that batting stance. Like, I love Don Mattingly. I thought he was, he's a guy that, that should have made it. I mean, you know, gold gloves, you know, batting champs, but he just had those chronic issues, you know, and I just think that once those back issues started, people didn't appreciate him for who he was. And I'll give you another one, guy that we've talked about that I loved, Eric Davis.
I loved Eric Davis. That was, dude, that was one of my favorite guys back in the day. Cincinnati Reds, I loved Eric Davis.
I mean,
injuries just ruined his career.
Yeah,
and the dabbling in the drugs didn't help.
Yeah, I mean, I could overlook the drugs because he was just, if it wasn't for the injuries, man, Eric Davis was something else. You know, in a 1 year stretch, 86, 87, before there was the steroid, think about that. 47 home runs with a .308 batting average and 98 stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane to me how good Eric Davis was. But never played more than 135 games in a season. Only averaged 86 per game after 20, missed all in 1995 when he was fighting colon cancer. He finished with 282 homers, 349 steals.
But, I didn't know he was battling colon cancer.
Yeah, he had it in mid-90s. I think he was. I mean, that's what
I love watching him play.
Eric Davis, those late 80s outfielders, man, they were just, oh my God, they were so good.
Let me ask this question. 651-461-9226. In Minnesota sports right now, which Minnesota professional athletes, in your opinion, are Hall of Famers?
That are active now?
Yes, that are active.
Oof. Harrison Smith.
Yep, the Hitman. See, I think the Hitman is the one that you definitively, you can say, he's a Hall of Famer. After that, I think he gets shaky. Now, I think that a guy that if he continues to produce and he's got a ring, even though he didn't win it here, could get there is Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that Carlos Correa is a slam dunk to be a Hall of Famer right now, but do I think that that Carlos Correa is going to be a Hall of Famer one day? Yes, I believe that he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
I think his tenure with the Twins right now has been underwhelming because he's been dealing with the plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've gotten the best out of Carlos Correa offensively.
No, but let's put it like this, and we talk about injuries because that's what the topic is right now. Mm-hmm. When healthy, Carlos Correa has been pretty good for the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, hashtag when healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, his heyday right now, unless he can provide a spark, he's going to be remembered for helping the Astros win a World Series and, you know, just finishing his career, you know, hopefully with the Twins. Yeah, outside of that, I mean, Justin Jefferson is on that trajectory.
Yeah, he's on the path, but he hasn't played long enough.
Yeah, too early to say. Same thing with Anthony Edwards.
Same thing to say with Kirill.
Kirill Kaprizov. Yeah,
like, I think
it's too early.
The slam dunk right now is Harrison Smith.
And he doesn't – in safeties, that's kind of one of those positions that's hard to quantify because he does all of the little things. I mean, the interceptions are good, but, you know, compared to the cornerbacks and other – safety is not a position on defense that you really rack up a lot of stats. So it's one of those, you know, did he pass the eye test? For a lot of us, yes.
I think that in Minnesota sports history, I think that Harrison Smith is one of the most underrated draft picks that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Of any team in professional sports in Minnesota. He's been that good.
I could see that.
Yep. 651-461-9226. Take a break, come back, and wrap up hour one, and we'll do that next. Oh, this is an interesting text from Adam in White Bear Lake. He says, Mr. Lake, is Eli Manning. Mr. Lake? I know I'm old, but damn, Adam. Mr. Lake, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer in the NFL, or will the voters just vote him in because he has two Super Bowl wins? I believe in his career, he has his record is, 116-116 and one. This will be an interesting case for a quarterback if it's numbers or bowl victories, in my opinion. I don't think there's any question that Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer.
I think because of who he beat in those Super Bowls. I think because you beat the Patriots, and especially because you knocked him off in that undefeated season, I think that's got something to do with it.
Yeah,
I think if, you know, Eli Manning wins two Super Bowls, it's great, but you beat Tom Brady, you beat Bill Belichick, you beat the evil empire of the NFL during the height of their run. And you did it two times. So I think Eli Manning absolutely is a Hall of Famer.
He's a two-time Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He's only one of six players to do that. I don't think there's any question that he's a Hall of Famer.
But outside of those Super Bowls, did Eli really do anything to warrant Hall of Fame consideration?
Four-time Pro Bowler. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that. No,
Darnold's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, for the first time. Eli, and I'm not saying like four times, just like the...
Tyler Huntley's a Pro Bowler.
Like that's the holy grail. But I think that people are just trying to make it seem as though he's in there because of just the two. Like, of course the two Super Bowls are it, but I think he did enough in his career to justify being a Hall of Famer, right?
Well, and then you get into the conversation, are wins a quarterback stat? Because what'd you say was 116 and 116? My God, that's a record Jeff Fisher would be proud of. Didn't he win as many games as he lost, didn't you say?
How many Super Bowls did Jeff Fisher win?
None, as far as I know.
Okay.
Came close.
I mean, he just...
No, my
Eli Manning passed over 57,000 yards. 57,000! I don't think it's debatable.
No, I don't.
I think Eli Manning, I'm going to tell you what it comes down to. I think that the Eli Manning conversation, it becomes controversy for a lot of people because his last name is Manning, and he pales in comparison to Peyton. Peyton's got two Super Bowl rings too, but Peyton was far and away the better quarterback.
Peyton was a...
To me, Peyton Manning is one of the top five quarterbacks to ever play.
Peyton Manning was much, much better than Eli.
Oh, no. Peyton Manning, top five ever.
Huh. Yeah, I could give that to you.
I was about to say, name me five better.
Again, what are we talking about when we're talking about the top five? Are you talking about wins? Are you talking about numbers?
How about both with Peyton Manning?
Okay, would you put Terry Bradshaw up there in his four Super Bowls?
No.
Winning more Super Bowls? Okay.
You can win more Super Bowls. It doesn't make you a better quarterback.
Okay. We've got Brett Favre.
Brett Favre was not better than Peyton Manning. Stop it.
Brett Favre would disagree.
Stop.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady for sure.
Patrick Mahomes
for sure.
Joe Montana.
Okay. Debatable, but Joe Montana's in the top five. That's three.
Okay.
That's it to me. Peyton Manning is the fourth. All the other, and I guess we could put in there, John Elway is in the conversation, but I think that Peyton Manning is, he's NFL MVP five times. That's pretty, and I know it's not just about MVPs.
How many of those did he have to share with Brett Favre?
I don't know.
And Steve McNair?
I don't know how many.
I don't know, maybe two.
Okay.
So really, he only won four because those are each half.
Wow. Seven times first team All-Pro.
But he did have one of the best skits in SNL history.
I like Peyton Manning. Stop being a hater. All right, coming up next, a sobering reality about what we are as a country. We get to that next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off.
They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.